You know, I'm not kidding when I say this. Not only should WWE try to figure out a way to do a premium live event in Paris, France, but if I was AEW, I absolutely should immediately consider having an event in Paris, France. Seriously, Bayley, everybody that was on that show have all commented on how unbelievable that crowd was over the weekend. I know a lot of you out there were paying attention to moments like this. I mean, almost bizarre, Lynn, right? What about the crowd going nuts, singing along to Austin Theory's entrance? Probably would have helped if I started it from the beginning, right? Look, you could see the footage online. Paris, France, man. You know, I'm from New York my entire life. The New York crowds are notorious. The Chicago crowds are notorious. Saudi Arabia crowds are notorious. I watched so many clips from Paris, France, Seth Rollins. That gave me Fandango vibes. Does anybody remember the subway when Fandango's music came out? Oh, man. And serenading him in the building for 10 minutes, man. Bravo to Paris, France, man. They showed the rest of the wrestling world how much they appreciate wrestling, especially when you come to that area. They don't get American wrestling touring their country all that often. So I had to mention it because I thought that was pretty fucking cool. And you know what? In hindsight, I think this draft was pretty fucking cool as well. You saw a lot of self-induced drama online on Friday, today as well. And I know I'm jumping one step ahead because we will get into the individual picks, but ain't nobody gonna fucking tell me that this Raw roster, as it is right now, is a disappointment, a letdown, a disaster. The draft sucked. You know why the draft sucked for a lot of the drama queens out there? Because in this day and age, everything has got to have the epic, amazing, unbelievable crackerjack surprise. You look at SmackDown's ratings, and they have been excellent. 2.4 million, 2.5 million, 2.1 million, 2.3 million. You know, long gone in recent memory of the days where they couldn't break 2 million. You know, especially when you have so many alternatives to watch pro wrestling outside of being live. You look at this, and they're going to have a world heavyweight champion coming soon. So how do you tell me that everything has got to be flipped upside the fucking down? And if it's not, it's a failure. You know, there's an old saying, if it's not broken, you don't fix it. SmackDown did not need much of a fixing. In fact, I got news for you. I don't even have to look at notes. I'm looking directly at you. Do you know who was drafted from the Raw roster to SmackDown tonight? We're not talking NXT. Do you know who was moved from Raw to SmackDown? Just three people: Austin Theory, Asuka, and Rick Boogs. That's it. Pretty deadly, pretty awesome. They're going to SmackDown. Cameron Grimes, finally, going to be back on TV. I tell you, if you go back, and if you haven't checked it out yet, now's the time to do it. You'll have a lot of fun. How did yours truly, how did Don Tony and Kevin Castle do on the predictions? We did it last Tuesday, and keep in mind, when we did it last Tuesday, that was before WWE announced that only a select group of people would be available for Friday and available for Monday. Don't worry. Cody Rhodes will be traded to SmackDown. He negotiated a trade to go to SmackDown when it's time for him to feud with Roman Reigns. Now is not the time. When the time comes, he will negotiate a trade to SmackDown. A lot of people are up in arms like, why is Brock Lesnar a free agent? Why is Omos a free agent? Mustafa Ali, Dolph Ziggler, why are they free agents? Well, it's very easy to answer. Brock Lesnar is a special attraction. If they need him to do an event on SmackDown, he can. If they need him to do an event on Raw, he can. Brock Lesnar being a free agent, crowd booed at it. Of course you're going to boo at it. That's not a popular thing. Brock Lesnar is a heel right now. You know, if I'm a WWE fan and I go to a SmackDown event, getting Brock Lesnar once in a while is pretty fucking good. Omos is still a project. Omos, I know, has been there for a little while, but it hasn't been that long since he was on Raw Underground. And if you pay attention to what Steve Austin has said, The Undertaker, and several other Hall of Famers, how fucking high they feel Omos's value could be. You know, that's some pretty high regard. You don't see a lot of these Hall of Famers really, you know, giving their high praise like that, especially to someone where if you pay attention to the noise, the fuck is he facing Seth Rollins on Backlash for? Well, why not? You know, I didn't want the match. I admit it. I didn't want the match. But Omos is a work in progress. So by him being a free agent, yeah, they could test him on SmackDown. They could test him on Raw. Von Wagner has no storyline. Von Wagner's claim to fame is come Tuesday. Come Tuesday. Come Tuesday. So you don't commit to Von Wagner yet. By the way, Von Wagner, big man. Omos, big man. Brock Lesnar, big man. Did you see the fake news over the weekend that Mustafa Ali was going to NXT? I was hoping that it was legit. It's not legit. Maybe that changes. But if you remember, even Saturday show, I said I thought Mustafa Ali going to NXT would be fucking great. I think there's few people in NXT that absolutely could benefit from Mustafa Ali, maybe doing a little bit more of what we thought Apollo Crews was going to do. So, again, you know, WWE is doing record revenue right now, record numbers. There was reports tonight that the events that they did in Texas this past weekend broke all-time records. Did you see anybody saying, oh, I went to the show, it was $450 a ticket? Do you see anybody out there complaining about ticket prices? Just suddenly, you know, feels like overnight. It feels like out of nowhere, like they're just raking in the cash, and it's not just the stock market. You know, why would anybody in their common sense right mind think that you just turn the house upside down and just shake the whole fucking thing up? What, to please the complainers? To please the drama queens out there? To please those who will never be satisfied? You could give a baby bottle, and that baby could become 800 pounds, bigger than Yokozuna, and the baby's not even 4 months old yet, and you take the nipple out of the mouth, and the baby cries. Even you just drank a fucking gallon of milk, you fat fuck. Yeah, I know, I'm fat too. You know, and the baby will still cry. There's nothing that you can do online to shut up the babies unless you give them a job. Plain facts. Unless you give them a job within the company, they will complain until the day they die. And as long as there's a lot of other drama queens out there that want to yell and piss in the wind and cry and complain and everything is sucks and it's not, why do you think I always have fun doing these shows and I try to have you all have fun on these shows as well? Because if you go into this, you know, maybe it's a little more boring to, you know, not shit on everything. But I got news for you at night. It feels kind of fun, you know, to just talk about things and talk about good shit and be, you know, you think, why would anybody want their blood pressure to go through the roof? You see little babies online crying tonight about the draft. And I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm piecing it together. And I'm like, it's not all that bad. So today's show is going to be pretty simple. We're going to recap the draft. We'll touch on Raw a little bit. Get into a couple of news tidbits, nothing major. We'll get into the ratings, the weekend wrestling ratings, a little preview for the history show. I got to show you a doppelganger. If you have not seen this yet, it's going to blow your fucking mind. Look, I've seen a lot of doppelgangers in my life. This one might be at the top of the list. If you didn't see it yet, I will show you. Maybe I'll show you in a moment. By the way, I might have a name or two missing here. But, you know, I kept a list, a checklist, of all the wrestlers that were available. And again, I still don't get it. Why are so many people fighting online that they had no idea that Roderick Strong was a free agent? You know, I joked about it over the weekend. Kev and I, last Tuesday, Kev and I on the show, the draft predictions, 5 minutes into the show, we're not going to talk about Roderick Strong because we heard he's already gone from the company. He's released. You know, I mean, I thought that was common knowledge by people out there. Do you know why I think people are making such a big deal about Roderick Strong showing up in AEW? You know why? Because for the last couple of months, they didn't give a fuck about Roderick Strong. They didn't say, oh, why is he in limbo? He should go to AEW, reunite with Adam Cole, and he should do this. You know, nobody said a fucking word about Roderick Strong. They didn't say anything. So now he shows up there, and I think a lot of people have egg on their face, and they're gushing and making an epic, amazing, unbelievable. And now people are calling other people out, like, why didn't you, like, talk about this before? So I think that's why it's happening. But, all right. So my list might not be 100% accurate, but I think it is. Hopefully, before this show is over, my friends in the chat room will help me like they did on Saturday. By the end of the show, you will know where the supplemental picks went. This is the list that I compiled of who has not been drafted to Raw or SmackDown just yet. Or free agents. Free agents. Xia Li, Tegan Nox, Riddick Moss, Tamina, Piper Nevin, Nikki Cross, Johnny Gargano, Emma, Elias, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Dana Brooke, Los Lotharios, Baron Corbin, and Akira Tozawa. Those are the names that have not been drafted as of yet. I definitely look at this and, you know, common sense, I think everybody and their mother thinks Gargano's got to go on Raw now. When everybody else, you know, imagine that. You got Candice LeRae, Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell on Raw, and you take Johnny Gargano. Even though there's some people that don't like Johnny Gargano, now it would be asinine if you don't draft him to Raw. So I think it's pretty obvious. I think the only reason why they didn't draft Gargano tonight during the show is because they had, what, six rounds? They had six rounds. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, they just figured, like, we don't really need to announce him on TV. I think everybody would kind of, like, expect him to be drafted to Raw. I think Cedric and Shelton Benjamin, I could see them popping up in NXT. I know that sounds like a major downgrade for some people out there, but, you know, it's not as bad as it sounds when you think about it. Now, the most interesting thing about going into NXT tomorrow is that both women's tag teams that are fighting for the tag team championships tomorrow in NXT are drafted to WWE's main roster. You got Alba Fire and Isla Dawn that is on the main roster now. They are the current NXT women's tag team champions. You got Katana Chance and Kayden Carter who are fighting to regain those titles tomorrow, and they're drafted tonight on Raw. So now you got to start thinking to yourself, are we going to get a mystery tag team to show up tomorrow and have an impromptu match and take those titles from Isla Dawn and Alba Fire? Maybe we get Nikki Cross and Piper Nevin. It's not as crazy as you think I mean, let's be honest. Nikki Cross, everybody expected sanity to reform. You know, just because that emoji with Elmo, you know, thank you, Triple H. You're righting all the wrongs that Vince McMahon did by releasing all these people. And maybe they looked at it and like, you know what? I don't know. You know, look at the Viking Raiders. Sanity, is it good? You don't know. For all we know, they would still debut in the future. Remember all those vignettes that Nikki Cross was doing online with chalk and crayons and drawing and little Easter eggs? And where did that go? That went nowhere. It went nowhere. Maybe Sanity reforms at NXT. Maybe you get Sanity versus Gallus. I pitch ideas because I like NXT. I follow it. So I'm wondering if we get a surprise women's tag team to show up at NXT tomorrow and end up with those championships. Could be two people on this list. Maybe, maybe not. But if you look at that list, really, that I just mentioned, who on that list really is going to make that big of a deal? Actually, I got news for you. You know, by the end of the show, we will actually know this, who, where everybody's going. So maybe this is all for naught. All for naught. All right, we're going to also do predictions for Backlash tonight. We got 7 matches announced. I think some of the matches are very predictable. Some of them have me really up in the air as far as who's going to win, who's going to lose. Now, with Brock Lesnar being announced tonight as a free agent, there goes everybody's number one pick. You know, oh, we don't want Brock Lesnar just regulated to Raw, so we got to choose a free agent. So by doing a free agent, now one of our future stars could be the number one pick. It ain't like 13 years ago when Kelly Kelly was the number one pick. That is true. Go look it up. Rhea Ripley announced as the number one pick for Raw tonight. Austin Theory announced as the number one pick for SmackDown. Soon as Gunther went to Raw, you pretty much knew that Theory was going to SmackDown. In fact, I posted a little sausage tonight. I'll give you a little spoiler. If you go back and you check out or revisit the predictions that Kevin and I did last week, we got almost everything right. One of the names that we did get wrong was LA Knight. I honestly thought LA Knight in that tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship, did I think he was winning it? No, there's only one person that should be winning that World Heavyweight Championship, and his name is Seth Rollins. Yeah, we had a 10 or 15 minute conversation about that last week. And I was very surprised over the weekend how many people kept asking me the question, do you think Cody's going to win the World Heavyweight Championship? Who do you think is going to win at Night of Champions? Seth Rollins. It's Seth Rollins' title to lose. Seth Rollins, if you weren't convinced last Monday, you have to be convinced tonight, unless you are forcing yourself to be in denial. What Seth Rollins has successfully done in 7 days, what he has successfully done is make that World Heavyweight Championship not look like the pity title. Seth Rollins wins that championship. What did we say a week ago? Survivor Series. We could end up having Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for bragging rights. And by the time Survivor Series comes around, Seth Rollins probably defends that championship a hell of a lot more than Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins arguably may put in better matches than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is more psychology. Seth Rollins is more in-ring. So Seth Rollins, in 7 days, if he wins that championship, he's someone that is going to put prestige in that belt, honor in that belt. He's going to show that, no, this is not the pity championship, that this is the real heavyweight championship. And I truly believe that without any doubt whatsoever. So I personally think, and thank you, Psycho. Thank you. Johnny Gargano just been drafted to Raw. So yes, Johnny Gargano, Raw. So we got that one out of the way. Let's keep them coming. And I like that. Put at Don Tony Show in your thing, you know, when you post a draft pick. This way I could shout you out, whoever does it. But thank you, Psycho, for that. So Seth Rollins in 7 days has sold me. And Cody Rhodes, if you notice, Cody Rhodes still not acknowledging that World Heavyweight Championship. He didn't mention Roman Reigns' name tonight. But he did say, Brock doesn't need to win Saturday. I need to win. And if I lose, then everything about finishing the story is a failure. And I have to go to the back of the line, and I'm not going to the back of the line. Never saying the words Roman Reigns. Yes, never saying the words World Heavyweight Championship as well. Never mentioning those words. So indirectly, you know, you don't have to say it to say it. You read between the lines. Cody Rhodes has got to face Roman Reigns. That's the match that everybody expects. He is the guy that everybody expects to dethrone. So even though Ninja did not hashtag it, but I still saw it. Thank you very much for capitalizing that. Heading to Raw, Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, Akira Tozawa, Piper Nevin, Tegan Knox, Riddick Moss, and Emma. Wow, so they're going to put Nikki Cross on SmackDown? Really? All right, and Xia Li, oh, poor Xia Li. I'm telling you, in recent years, the greatest vignettes to come between NXT and the main roster. You look at vignettes from NXT and the main roster, nobody had better vignettes hyping her up. Those torture videos that they did in NXT were amazing. Then they did the, you know, I fight for my family, my landlord, piece of shit. Remember all those things? And look where it's got. Maybe Xia Li does need to go back to NXT. All right, let me show you the doppelganger. Let's get this out of the way. My friends, I got to give a major shout out if somebody could tell me who that? Does anybody know who that is? Anybody know who that is? I'll give you a hint. He's a football player. I'm sure some of you saw this over the weekend. Now, you look at this guy. I'm not going to say his name yet, but if you look at this guy, hey, he's a football player, good-looking guy, doesn't look like any wrestler, right? He doesn't look like anybody. Does he look like anybody? Maybe he kind of has like a little Buddy Matthews look to himself, but really, he doesn't look like anybody. Well, his name is Payne Durham, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, Mr. Durham has decided to tweak his look a little bit. He has shaved his head. He has trimmed his mustache. And my friends, this is not a Photoshop. I would like for you to see what Mr. Payne Durham looks like now. This is not a Photoshop. Is that fucking crazy? Or is that crazy? Seriously, I got Earl Hebner vibes, Brian Hebner vibes, or whatever the Hebners, the twins from back in the day. That is Payne Durham right now. Holy shit. I got to find out if Karrion Kross, if Killer Kross inspired that guy to get that look. I got creeped the fuck out. I looked at other pictures of him. I honestly thought Karrion Kross went to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. Somebody in the chat room was like, does he look like Kross? No, he looks like Tozawa. He looks like Tozawa. That's creepy, man. That is fucking creepy. That is just insane, man. I had to share with everybody because when I saw that, I was like, "Date, no way, man. How's that for a doppelganger?" I thought my Bryan Danielson, Jim Henson doppelganger was pretty fucking funny. Remember that one I posted on Twitter? Jim Henson with the Muppets that looked like Bryan Danielson? Nobody ever picked up on that. That's a fucking doppelganger. Payne Durham, I hope he's a WWE fan. We got to get him and Karrion Kross to take a picture with each other. Thank you, Michael Gonzalez. Holy shit. Grayson Waller to SmackDown. You know what that means? That means it makes this tweet even funnier. Grayson Waller, a little savage tonight on Twitter. The NXT roster is so cringe, acting like they're in the audience on a daytime talk show. Mandy Sachs, Mandy Rose thought that was funny. And it is funny. Grayson Waller is on SmackDown. That is fucking awesome. Thank you, Michael Gonzalez, for that. Thank you, Michael Gonzalez. With all due respect, you know what? No. All right. Little Dax Harwood. I could see that. Maybe if Dax Harwood and Karrion Kross had a love child, okay. But that's crazy, man. I saw that, and I was like, wow. Grayson Waller on SmackDown, that is fucking awesome, man. I got to update the synopsis after the show is over. Grayson Waller, remember I said he's going to leapfrog Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes? That guy, I'm telling you, when he first came into NXT, it was like if Vanilla Ice and John Cena lived in Australia, picked up on the accent, had a love child, and was as annoying as fuck, that would be Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller just slowly, slowly kept doing his thing, and you saw how hard that guy was working in the ring, and he was backing his shit up, and it just, I'm telling you, that guy, I just picture the promos pretty deadly. You know, they're kind of like the, you know, the UK white annoying version of the New Day. I mean, I just see it already. I mean, Grayson Waller is going to probably have a talk segment on SmackDown. And look, you know, I posted it earlier as Sausage. It's not hard to figure it out. LA Knight being on SmackDown, which is one that we got wrong. But now you think LA Knight versus Austin Theory. Give me it. Don't give me Roman Reigns versus LA Knight because we know what the outcome is going to be there. Ain't no way LA Knight is dethroning Roman Reigns anytime soon. You look at these rosters. There are so many new and fresh feuds and even some feuds that might have been teased in the past, but now you could go full-blown with. I could see Bobby Lashley maybe having a feud with Roman again. You know, I could see, you know, LA Knight with a bunch of people on SmackDown. I kind of wish he would have been on Raw, though, because of 3 hours. You know, there's so much more, especially if that third hour gets a little bit more adult-oriented. I could see LA Knight really getting a little vicious on the mic. But Odyssey Jones to Raw. Okay, interesting. Odyssey Jones. Okay, here's some more Raw picks. Dana Brooke, Nikki Cross. You could add them. Jinder Mahal, Sangha, Veer Mahan. That's the team that Kevin and I said last week. They got to go to the main roster. They have nobody really to... I tell you, in hindsight, I'm a little surprised the Creed brothers. Not yet. Not yet the Creed brothers. I will say this about Bron Breakker. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. The reason why Bron Breakker is not fully drafted to the main roster yet, and look, by the end of the night, could still happen, but the reason why it hasn't happened yet, and there's no controversy, it's not WWE soured or anything like that, or they have no plans. Bron Breakker has never ventured in heel territory. Bron Breakker never wrestled on the indie circuit. Bron Breakker, even though he's got the Steiner genes in him and he is killing it, still, if you're going to bring him to the main roster, especially as a heel, you have to, you know, test it out. You have to acclimate him. It's got to come off as second nature. And Bron Breakker, I'm sure there's been many times in his private life where he rehearsed it and played around with his friends and family and cut Scott Steiner promos and Rick Steiner promos as a heel. But until you do it in front of live crowds, you really, that's how you test it. And Bron Breakker only turned heel, what, a month ago? I mean, a lot has happened in a month. You know, so let him develop a little bit more. No rush. There's no rush. Again, people will complain because they got to have that Cracker Jack surprise. Everything has got to have a surprise. It's got to have some type of emotional chemical reaction, a chemical high to it. And if it's not, oh, this sucks, what a letdown, this sucks. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. So Grayson Waller, very, very interesting, man, interesting. So thank you to everybody who was sending over some picks. So we got pretty much the gist of everything. So let's quickly run down the draft picks that we did see on Raw tonight. And as I said earlier, not many Raw wrestlers jumping to SmackDown. SmackDown pretty much kept their core. The bloodline as a whole kept on SmackDown. You see some of the important elements kept on SmackDown. You see Charlotte Flair kept on SmackDown. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, that was a pick Kevin and I said last week, has to go to Raw. Has to go to Raw. That third hour gives you a little bit extra freedom to play around a little bit. So let's run down these picks, and then we'll get into, you know, a little bit of a Raw recap. We'll do Backlash in a few moments, and we'll touch on a few other things as well. So, actually, let's do it like this. Okay, so number one draft pick, to no surprise, Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley and the Judgment Day stay on Raw. And by the way, oh, you know, I got a little announcement for everyone. Check it out. I got a little announcement. It's very important. I mean, it's very generous, and it would be disrespectful if I didn't mention it. Remember last week we did a contest and we gave away this Matt Riddle signed photo, this Matt Riddle autographed card, and this Matt Riddle autographed WWE hat? Sticky Fingers Frank won it. And I got a really nice email from Frank. And he basically said to me that he played for the thrill of winning, but he's not the biggest Matt Riddle fan, and he wants me to put it back in the pool and put it, you know, up for grabs again. So we're going to do a contest shortly once again to give it away. Another thing, and by the way, I am giving Frank something else. I can't say what it is yet because I have someone trying to get me something in WWE. So I don't know if they're going to come through. If they come through, it'll be a fun story to tell you all. I'll give you a hint. It involves cameo. All right, it involves a cameo. Also, this Dominic Mysterio, limited to 49, this rookie card was never claimed. So this is now officially back in the pool. So just want to let everybody know. So we'll be giving that away in a little bit. Baron Corbin's a free agent. Hey, give us a little credit, because last week when we were talking about Corbin, we totally forgot about Corbin. And at the very end of the predictions, I remembered Corbin. And I said, maybe Corbin should go to NXT. I'm not that off. Corbin is a free agent now. Think about that. Just imagine him showing up on SmackDown, knocking on the door. Hey, can I have a match tonight? Going on Raw, can I have a match tonight? Showing up in NXT, can I have a match tonight? Oh, I could see it already. What about Paul Heyman tonight? People got angry with me last week when I said, you know what? WWE should really piss everybody off and give the World Heavyweight Championship to Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman cuts a promo in the middle of the ring, and he's looking at this beautiful chunk of gold. And he says to everyone, you know, that would look beautiful around the waist of the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Not only does he have one championship, but not two championships, but three championships. And I was like, yeah. Because I put that online last week, and people are like, shut the fuck up. Now, do I think Roman's winning it? No. But boy, would that be fucking funny if they put Roman in the tournament at Night of Champions just because of name value. I mean, I could see it coming down to the wire, but it's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, man, what we talked about with Baron Corbin last week was not just to make fun of Corbin. Yeah, I think him popping up in NXT would actually help him. And let me tell you something. Jinder Mahal, you know, when he came back to NXT, he actually was warmly received, you know, because a lot of people felt that he was going back there to help boost Veer and Sangha a little bit. But those two guys stuck out like a sore thumb because they're so fucking huge. Indus Sheer are meant for the main roster. So now they're going back to the main roster as well. So, yeah, let's see what happens next week. So anyway, let's run through these picks pretty quickly because, like I said, we really don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it. Rhea Ripley staying on Raw. Now it's pretty obvious that the titles will be swapped. And I know that pisses off a lot of people, especially because of Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair, why wasn't Lita drafted? Check out our show last week. The only reason why they kept Trish Stratus drafted is because they're going to tease a feud with her and Becky Lynch. So Elias is a free agent. Thank you, Psycho. Elias, breaking news. Elias, a free agent. I'm fine with that as well. Let him turn heel again. Let him show up on SmackDown with his fucking guitar putting down the crowds. But Rhea Ripley, look, she has only been champion for about a month. So her reign is not that long. A lot of people feel like, wow, you know, Bianca Belair's reign is going to come to an end as Raw Women's Champion because she was drafted to SmackDown. I don't like title swaps. I don't like that at all because you are forced to reset the reign. But keep in mind that the number everybody wants to talk about now is combined reigns. Roman, it's different. But, you know, understand something. And last week when we talked about Roman, and people were trying to figure out what's going to happen with the two championships. And it was so easy. People turned it into controversy when it was not needed. You have one belt that I think as of today, it's 392 days. You have another belt that it's on its way to 1,000 days. Well, which lineage are you going to pay more attention to? The belt that has 392 days of a reign or the other one that is like 970, around there? No, you're going to go for the one that's approaching 1,000 days. So now the other title at 390 days is really doesn't matter as much. So you look at the women's championships, even though Bianca Belair's, you know, title reign as Raw Women's Champion comes to an end. But people will combine her SmackDown reign with the Raw reign, and people will still keep it going. So at the end of the day, it's not, you know, the end of the world, everyone. And by the way, did you pay attention tonight? Bianca Belair giving us some seed planting that will definitely sprout a babyface term for Io Sky. Because tonight we had Bayley and Dakota Kai teaming up to beat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez in a non-title match. Once again, we always point it out on these shows. People still haven't caught on to it. One, my biggest pet peeve of Triple H heading creative, I've said it since August of last year, and it happens almost every other week. No one else brings it up, and I'm going to bring it up again tonight. The baby faces look like morons. I don't know what it is. I mean, I know what it is, but Triple H has this creative fetish that baby faces turn into dumb fucks in their match, that they don't have the awareness of what's going on, clueless. Once again tonight, Liv Morgan fighting Dakota Kai. She didn't see the tag. She hits Oblivion on Dakota Kai, but here comes Bayley. Fruit roll up. One, two, three. Liv didn't see the tag. Every other week that happens. I can't believe that no one is picking up on that. Since August, they did it like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And I remember Natty over and over, Shotzi over and over. I'm like, what the fuck is it with these baby faces? Oh, she didn't see the tag, fruit roll up. They didn't see the tag, fruit roll up. It happens every other week, and it happened again tonight. And you know what else happened again tonight? Something that we picked up on weeks ago. That ever since the Latino World Order has formed, the LWO has turned into the LW0. They have not won a match as the LWO. Zelina Vega, as I've said before, has a better record than Santos Escobar in the LWO. Once again tonight, they lost. Go look up, because I know people are only catching up the last week or so. But we talked about that, and we said we hope it's not an April Fool's joke, but the LWO is smoke and mirrors. No, not smoke and mirrors. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why do you think they have Rey Mysterio get drafted with Legado del Fantasma? Why do that? Because they want Rey to be associated with a faction so you can mix and match. Plus, Rey's at the tail end of his career, so having tag matches prolongs Ray still being able to do what he can do. I'm not against it, but at the end of the day, does anybody truly feel like Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde has a big future in the WWE? I hate to say it, but to me, it's nothing but smoke and mirrors. I don't care. Oh, it's the biggest selling shirt. Oh, I could picture the Vince McMahon Elias conversation. You remember that news report from a couple of years ago that no, it was Rusev Day. It wasn't Elias. It was Rusev Day. Remember? Rusev tells Vince, I have the hottest selling shirt. Oh, they're not chanting with you. They're chanting in spite of you. You had the biggest, hottest Rusev Day. It was the hottest selling shirt around, and you saw how they treated Rusev Day. Do we need to revisit that? It's a cool-looking shirt. It's the, you know, flavor of the month. By the time everybody, you know, buys the shirt and wears it, they're going to be like, wow. Now, I expect LWO to get some wins now once this roster split is completely in force. Their streaks will change. But there's no denying. I mean, if you want to say first two, three matches they lose, oh, okay, you know, there's you're double digits now, and they're still losing. But I will say this. The outcome of tonight's match has my view of Backlash a little bit different, a little bit different. All right, so let's get into these drafts results from tonight. As we said earlier, Rhea Ripley drafted number one to Raw. Austin Theory moved to SmackDown. Love the pick. Love the pick. Again, a lot of these picks are exactly what we talked about last week in the predictions. Seth Rollins remaining on Raw, I mean, a given. He is the favorite to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Becky Lynch also on Raw. A lot of people now are lobbying for Samantha Irvin to go to Raw, be the commentator for Raw. I'm telling you, that's not out of the question because obviously Ricochet, I know we're jumping a little ahead, but Ricochet moved to Raw as well. Charlotte Flair remains on SmackDown. No surprise there, obviously. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Okay, people are creating unnecessary drama tonight. They are still the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. They will defend their championships on Raw. They are Raw stars. There will be a SmackDown tournament to determine new number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. They are not going to, try to create one belt like some whack jobs in the media world were saying tonight. There's no controversy here. Eventually, they will lose the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The reason why they have not lost those belts yet is because storyline is going to progress at WWE's pace and not what social media wants to dictate it. Not only that, you definitely want to use Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn once in a while, maybe at a SmackDown Live event, maybe after SmackDown goes off the air, dark match. But in the end, they will, once they are no longer, there's going to come a day that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are no longer going to be tag team champions. Both belts. It's going to come a day. They're not going to be tag team champions for 800 days. When they lose both belts, they will be labeled Raw stars. That's it. No controversy. There's no controversy. There's no nothing. They are Raw wrestlers, but they still possess SmackDown gold. They're going to have to defend it. That's it. Plain and simple. The Usos remain on SmackDown, and that's probably one of the most important things that Kevin and I talked about last week. You knew they had to break away from Riddle, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. That people were tired, with all due respect, of Owens, Zayn, and Riddle in the Bloodline. Not as much Riddle, but we have had Riddle versus a Bloodline member for so many consecutive weeks, people are kind of tired of it. So keeping the Usos on one brand, Sami and Kevin Owens on the other brand, definitely the way to go. Yeah, their paths could cross again if there's a title shot. Don't be surprised if a house show may have a title match because that draws. I mean, it's you know, you're going to get the people online, oh, you see, they couldn't help themselves. Oh, shut the fuck up. You know, fans live in attendance get to see a match that they enjoy seeing. That's how I look at it. So the Usos on the different brand, definitely the way to go. The Judgment Day. We wanted Finn Balor, Damian Priest to stay on Raw. Dominic and Rey Mysterio on separate brands. That was the way to go. So now the Judgment Day are forced to feud with different people. And by the way, Dominic getting nuclear heat tonight. Loved it, man. Loved it. Dominic Mysterio just killing it in his role. That crowd wants Dominic to get his ass kicked. That is not go-away heat. That is nuclear heat, and that is fucking awesome. I love it. I've been singing a praise for Dominic for a long, long time. Never in a million years did I ever think that he would adapt as good as he has. And Ray is a big reason behind it. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, all big roles. Keeping him on Raw, a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Definitely looking forward to that, to seeing what is next. The LWO, as we said, remaining on SmackDown, best way to go, you know, keeping them away from Judgment Day. You know, even the storyline tonight, Dominic playing off like, oh, you know, they went to SmackDown because they're afraid of us. And Ray's like, no, we were chosen to be on SmackDown, you idiot. But, again, unfortunately, LWO, near perfect. They lose every time. But I believe that will change. I do believe that will change. All right, next. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, move to Raw. I'm not going to lie, this kind of surprises me a little bit. This kind of surprises me because, and look, with Braun Strowman on Raw, you know, they really like to keep their couples together, and we've seen that for a while now. But, you know, you feel like Liv Morgan might get lost in the shuffle a little bit on Raw. I mean, if you just take a step back and you look at that Raw roster right now, and I think I still have the picture here. If you look at the women on this roster, you know, I feel like Liv Morgan is going to get lost in the shuffle. Do I see them keeping those tag team championships for the foreseeable future? No, I don't. But keep in mind, they are the tag champs for both brands, not just Raw. But once they lose those titles, they will be Raw wrestlers. But again, even after they are no longer champions, it feels like Liv Morgan is going to be lost in the shuffle. You know, outside of Becky Lynch, you know, or Ronda Rousey, maybe Shayna Baszler, you know, it looks like you, and Rhea Ripley, obviously, but Rhea Ripley is Teflon right now. You're not going to do anything to change Rhea Ripley. Look, I think down the line we get Raquel Rodriguez and leave Rhea Ripley in a feud. I think that's a feud people really want to see, you know, develop. Not just one match here or one match there. I think that actually could turn into something really, really interesting. All right, moving on from tonight's draft. Asuka moved to SmackDown. That's another one last week. You know, something fresh, a little new. The only problem is, you have Bayley still associated on the same brand with Asuka. One consolation is Io Sky will be on SmackDown as well. As I said earlier, Bianca Belair planted seeds tonight big time, where she said that Bayley and Dakota Kai, they're out for themselves and you don't see it and this is and that, and you know, trying to make Io Sky like wake up. You know, and we said it last week that Dakota Kai and Bayley, it feels like that they will remain a cohesive unit. I see it a mile away that Io Sky turns babyface. Who knows? Maybe Io Sky and Asuka end up becoming a tag team, and that might be your next women's tag team champions. And again, the interesting thing about it is when you have one set of women's tag team titles, that women's tag team can appear on a Raw. So if Asuka and Io Sky end up becoming a tag team and they win the tag belts, you will see them make a cameo on Raw. You know, again, it was only a couple of months ago, oh, the roster split is dead. Does it feel like the roster split is dead? Or you feel like a lot of people clickbaited people? You know, it wasn't that long ago. So keep in mind, we only have one set of women's tag team champions, and they will pop up on the other brand if they're champions. So I like this move. I just don't want to see Bianca and Asuka intertwining with each other. We just had that at Mania and kind of fell flat, if we were going to be a little bit honest. The New Day, moving to Raw. That kind of surprises me a little bit as well. I mean, the New Day, pretty deadly, already had a program in NXT. But the New Day going to Raw, I feel like SmackDown, it just fits a little bit better. I don't want to see the New Day start being the breeding ground to put a lot of other tag teams over. But, you know, Kofi is injured right now. Big E is still obviously out. And Big E was not part of the draft for that reason. But they are moved to Raw. Right now, Xavier Woods is riding solo. And who knows, maybe Xavier Woods ends up in a Night of Champions tournament. All right, continuing on. The Brawling Brutes, yeah. As soon as Drew McIntyre got drafted to Raw, he had to keep Sheamus on the other brand because they were no longer going to be a tag team. And hell, I'm not going to lie to you. I've said it before. For some reason, I want to see Roman Reigns feud with Sheamus. Even though I know what this outcome is going to be, I actually would dig Roman Reigns having a nice, good feud with Sheamus. I think it would be pretty fucking good. I think it would be a little bit different. I could see the Usos feuding with the Brawling Brutes as well. But Michael Cole, it's fight night! You can't change that. That's why we need Samantha Irvin on Raw, just for the Imperium announcement. You know, how she does it. I mean, my God. She gets into it. Gunta! Imperium! She changes her accent. She gets into it, man. I love the way she calls Imperium. So you almost feel like Samantha Irvin has got to go to Raw. So, all right, let's continue. Because we don't have too many picks. We're about halfway through. Trish Stratus remaining on Raw. That allows her to continue her feud with Becky Lynch. And listen, Trish Stratus is going to have a couple of matches. When you look at this roster, there are several people that she could squash. With all due respect, remember the other names we said earlier who were drafted to Raw? You think of the Emmas and everything else. Come on. You know there's matches coming where Trish is going to squash them like a grape. They're going to be eating a little bit of Stratus faction to set that shit up. So Trish Stratus stays on Raw. Karrion Kross stays on SmackDown. A lot of us thought it would be cool to see him on Raw, maybe get into it with Damian Priest, Seth Rollins. There's a few people. But as you see right now, especially with Odyssey Jones and Braun and Bronson Reed, which we're going to bring up in a moment, there's some big boys. There's some big boys on Raw. And then you got Omos that could be on both brands. Karrion Kross, I could see him falling in line with more like the Sheamus, maybe a little bit Austin Theory would be a little interesting, maybe a little LA Knight. I think they want to, you know, just let him, you know, develop a little bit more. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But he and Scarlett will remain on SmackDown. And look, with Shinsuke now being a Raw wrestler, oh, and by the way, we'll mention Shinsuke kind of got the phrase wrong earlier tonight when he was talking about the Miz and Miz's tiny little things. I actually did a little research and I actually translated it, heard it, found a couple of sites. So I'll tell you what actually the phrase is. But Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler moved to Raw. A lot of people think that they are the next women's tag team champions. I tell you, maybe we're going one step too far ahead with Io Sky and Asuka. Maybe Ronda and Shayna end up becoming your next tag team champions, and maybe that then leads to a feud with Io Sky and Asuka. That would be interesting. I just don't know about Ronda Rousey, you know, like dictating or going back and forth with Io Sky and Asuka. I just feel like, you know, she's too methodical because of her in-ring repertoire. I don't know how that would gel, but they're going to be moved to Raw. And the funny thing is Shayna Baszler on Twitter tonight, she's like, we'll go wherever we want. So, yeah, that's they'll just stay on Raw for the foreseeable future. All right, continuing with this draft tonight. LA Knight, as we said earlier, remains on SmackDown. A lot of people want to see him feud with Roman. I think Austin Theory is a possibility, or sooner than later. LA Knight, he's going to be on his way as being a number one babyface on SmackDown. Problem is, he ain't going to be the one to dethrone Roman. No matter how much people insist that it's on the table, it's not on the table. LA Knight, I kind of wish that he would have been on Raw, because I think there's some stronger match possibilities. But, you know, for now, he remains on SmackDown. So, yeah, a lot of people in the chat don't want to see him versus Roman Reigns. I think him versus Austin Theory might be a fun feud. And I could see Austin Theory losing that championship sooner than you expect. I think there is a very legit chance of LA Knight dethroning Austin Theory. Hell, a lot of people think that Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory might be revisited. You know, I know we're having a three-way this weekend in Backlash, so that's going to be interesting. Because now when you think about it, there's one person in that match that has zero chance of winning it. I think you could figure out who that is. In fact, he might be coming up soon. Ricochet and Braun Strowman move to Raw. Okay, I'm fine with that. You know, we'll see where it goes. Braun Strowman, you know, a lot of people think that he's destined to go singles once again. But him and Ricochet have been a fun little tag team. You know, I mean, it's a shame what happened with Braun with the concussion, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, I like their work together. They beat Alpha Academy tonight. And Ricochet, you know, basically using Braun Strowman for extra leverage for a senton, which was impressive. They help each other. They feed off each other. And honestly, I think Ricochet is fitting in better now with Braun than without Braun. I mean, a lot of people always feel, oh, Ricochet's got it. He's got it. Why don't they push him? They always seem to, like, just put him to a halt. I think him with Braun actually helps Ricochet go to the next level. So, all right, continuing on. Shotzi to SmackDown. Not much there, let's be honest. I mean, she's trying. She's a character. I think on SmackDown, she, you know, has her little role, but you see the Biancas and the Charlottes, and, you know, I don't know where this goes. In fact, would not surprise me if Xia Li ends up on SmackDown as well. I think her name was omitted in the list earlier today. So, all right, so Shotzi remains on SmackDown. Yeah, there's your guy that is not winning the United States title at Backlash. It would make no sense. It would throw everything in major disarray. You know, now since he's drafted to Raw and with Gunther on Raw as the Intercontinental Champion, Bronson Reed will remain on Raw. A lot of big boys, a lot of big boys on Raw. I mean, you better reinforce those rings. Hey, we'll see where it goes. I personally think this is a good choice for him to be on Raw because there are way more. You could see him feuding with Braun in the near future. You could see this a mile away. There are some big boys that he could feud with for the next 6 months with no problem whatsoever. And I think the more he feuds with the big boys, I think the more that he may have a chance that he'll click with the fans. I don't want to see him squashing small guys. And Anthony, Alanis, like earlier today with Omos, pointless match. Don't know why it was done. I mean, I know why it was done. It was just to remind us how Dominic Omos is, you know, against a no-namer. But he's got to have his hands full with Seth Rollins on Saturday. All right, winding down this draft. from earlier today, pretty deadly on SmackDown. I can't wait. I can't wait. I know there's a lot of you out there. I totally get it. There's a lot of you out there that it hasn't clicked with you yet. Believe me, I was there at some point. I was there with the Grizzled Young Veterans. I was there with, you know, a lot of teams in the past. That team is going to fit like a glove. They're going to, I'm telling you, you're going to pick up where the New Day left off. Just, they're on the opposite side of the coin. They will be antagonists. That's going to be a sleeper. You're going to see a lot of people tweeting how much they, listen, not everybody watches NXT. Not everybody follows it. People pretend to follow it, but a lot of people still really have not seen much of what they can do. Now you put them on a major stage like that, I'm telling you, that's going to be good, man. That's going to be one of the sleeper hits coming out of this draft. Alpha Academy stays on Raw. I will say this. Some tag teams and factions will still split up. It's going to happen. I mean, there's some names, obviously, Street Profits, that people, eventually it's gonna happen. And that's another one. Montez Ford. Maybe he feuds with Roman Reigns in the near future. I want to see Austin Theory and Montez Ford feud. I think that in some way is almost like John Cena, Randy Orton down the line. No, I don't believe either one will be on the level of what John Cena was. But when back in the day, John Cena, Randy Orton, the future of WWE, and their feuds were very, very interesting because they came in almost at the same time. I know Montez Ford's been there a little bit longer, but I think Montez Ford and Austin Theory, as far as the future of WWE, they just give me vibes of John Cena and Randy Orton from back in the day, just as far as, you know, how high on the food chain they could go. But Alpha Academy, as of right now, still remain on Raw. Maximum Male Models, Maxine Dupri, also on Raw. So we know where that's going to go. Oh, yeah. I mean, I still fucking love when Otis does that, man. That's just a lot of fun. And that will continue. Rick Boogs going to SmackDown. You know, he was kind of on SmackDown for a while before the injury. You know, hey, who knows? Maybe 6 months from now, he'll be feuding with Roman Reigns. Rick Boogs has a lot of potential. We'll see where it goes. I have an open mind with Rick Boogs. In fact, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if down the line we have Rick Boogs feuding with Karrion Kross. Don't ask me why, but I actually think that might be better than people realize. Katana Chance and Kanan Carter moving to Raw makes NXT's match tomorrow even more interesting. They are good, man. They are good. And I remember those days where Katana Chance, she looked more of like an acrobat. Remember when she was dating Ricochet? You felt like, you know, like she was trying to be like the female Ricochet, and a lot of the moves just felt like she was doing acrobatics. She put it together, and her and Kanan Carter are a lot better than people think that they are. I just hope they don't get squashed, you know, because they are still a very young tag team. But they have definitely gone, you know, a long way developing, and they work beautiful with each other. That's a tag team you do not split. You do not split. Gable Steveson is still training. He's still, you know, a while away. That's why he's not part of this draft. He's still a Raw wrestler, but he wasn't part of this draft. People are not, you know, I don't want to say part-timers. People are not active on the main roster, and NXT are not in this draft. We talked about it last Tuesday, Kevin and I. And the final pick for tonight, Cameron Grimes, SmackDown. And I like that, you know, yeah, he's got the shaved chest now, and he's showing off the abs a little bit. But this reminds me a little bit more of old school Cameron Grimes. There was one point where it felt like they removed too much hair. If you remember, he just looked like an indie guy. he just looked like a regular indie guy. There was, you know, there was so, I mean, I could see getting rid of the hairy chest and stuff like that, but he's more back to how he should look. I actually think Cameron Grimes might be a sleeper hit on SmackDown as well. The big question is he going to be a heel or is he going to be a babyface? And listen, you know, as Psycho is saying in the chat room right now, you could, I think he starts as a babyface. I think he starts as a babyface simply so the crowd could go to the moon. Believe me, little things like that could be the reason why he remains as a babyface. So, but that is your draft that happened earlier tonight. While I was going over the picks, I saw two super chats come in. Ryan Armstrong with the five spot. Thank you, Ryan. So if Sammy and KO do not attend Saudi shows, how are they the WWE Undisputed Tag Titles defended at Night of Champions 2023? Who said that every championship had to be defended at Night of Champions? Sami Zayn and his religion, his views, no one is forced to go to Saudi Arabia. They are not going to be punished for not going to Saudi Arabia. When WWE 6, 8, 9 months ago decided that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were going to dethrone the Usos, they know that in 2023 and 2024 and 2025 that they're going to be going to Saudi Arabia. And they know that last year when they saw WrestleMania and they saw Saudi Arabia in May, you don't think Vince or somebody, what do we do about Saudi Arabia? Why? Wait, they don't sound like that. You know, what do they do? You think this was not discussed? So, no, this is not, oh, they don't compete. That's playing, you know, a little bit too strict here. They're not going to be dethroned. They're not going to be stripped. Not every championship is going to be defended. Wouldn't surprise me if we see an injury angle or we see a suspension or something where they get taken out in storyline and that's why they don't defend it. But they'll probably defend it a week or two before Saudi Arabia. But no, it's not even something on the table, to be honest with you. They're not going to lose those belts because of that. And Clone Force 99 with the five spot. Cody will win Money in the Bank and cash in RVD style on Roman and beat him at SummerSlam. I don't think Cody Rhodes, you know, I tell you, you look at Money in the Bank moments. I know a lot of you probably weren't even watching WWE when Dolph Ziggler cashed in. That is one of the most fun nights I have ever seen with a cash in. I could picture that crowd losing their shit if Cody Rhodes' music hits and he cashes in the briefcase. And no, I don't think it would be a cheap win. But let's be honest. You know there'd be enough people online. This is finishing the story? Cashing in a briefcase while Roman Reigns was incapacitated? That's not finishing the story. Dusty wouldn't have done that. That's the only reason why I don't think it's going to happen. Because so much of what we're watching right now is Dusty. Even his promo tonight. I mean, there's a lot of Dusty. See, when Cody said in a promo with Roman about a month ago, you know, I'm fine if we don't mention Dusty again because they don't want to make it obvious. But if you watch the documentary, if you grew up, if you're old like me and you grew up on a little bit of Dusty, you already know where a lot of this goes and where it falls into place. And believe me, you look at the parallels, and yes, this is the 2023 edition of it, and it's going to be definitely different in some ways. But Cody Rhodes is going to earn it. Remember what he said tonight. He's got to earn it. He's not going to take a shortcut. He's going to earn everything. You might feel, Cody, you got an opportunity. Take it. Take it. Nope. That's not me. I like your idea for almost anyone else on the roster. And I picture that crowd. Could you imagine if Roman gets laid out by somebody and all of a sudden you hear boom, 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 boom. Wrestling has more than what? People would fucking lose their shit. He's got that briefcase. But not with the Dusty tie-in. It's just too many people would be like, cheap way out. Couldn't defeat him at WrestleMania. Needed a briefcase to do it. That's why I don't think it'll happen. But honestly, I like your idea. I definitely like your idea. Good one. Definitely a good one. So, Raw tonight, just some quick rundown. Bayley and Dakota Kai over Liv Morgan and Raquel. As I said earlier, you know, once again, the babyface team becomes brain dead. Liv doesn't see the tag. She hits Oblivion on Dakota Kai. Bayley with the fruit roll-up. Match over. We had two segments in the back with Adam Pearce, one with Brock, one with Cody. They were kind of pretty much the same thing. Cody shows up, and Adam Pearce is like, Cody, please, you know, we don't want any chaos tonight. And Cody looks at him, and he laughs, and he walks away. Later on, he sees Brock Lesnar, and he's like, you know, Brock, you know, we want to keep the peace tonight. And Brock's like, yeah, sure. He laughs, and he walks away. Paul Heyman opens up the show, trolling the fans about the World Heavyweight Championship, trolling the fans about Roman Reigns approaching 1,000 days, and he's interrupted by Seth Rollins. The crowd is serenading Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins tells Paul, since Paul likes predictions, he's got a prediction that Seth Rollins is going to show what a real champion looks like. That's it. That's it. Seth Rollins is not winning a pity championship. People will look at that title and say, that's a champion. That's what a world champion should be. Seth Rollins will force you to put more respect on that championship. I got news for you. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but it's definitely something you got to keep in the back of your head. You know, when Triple H said that Roman Reigns negotiated himself into not defending the title all that much, that's almost a Brock Lesnar storyline from years ago. Do you remember when Brock was sitting in the back reading Country Magazine and he would defend the title like every couple of months, and Paul Heyman would do interviews, he'd go on social media and say that Brock Lesnar should be like Andre the Giant, that he only shows up once in a while. He's a spectacle. And we got so angry at Brock Lesnar never defending the championship. And I used to joke on the shows. I'm like, guys, what do you think Brock's going to do? Brock's going to show up at Raw unannounced backstage. Hey, Triple H, you know, I haven't defended a title in a while. I happened to be in the neighborhood. I was going to go get some, you know, steak, but I was like, hey, I'll defend the title. You know, this one's on me. Put me on TV. I'll fight anybody. Oh, that's the contract that WWE negotiated with him. WWE may force the Brock Lesnar storyline again with Roman Reigns, that Roman may intentionally not defend that title all that much, because the less Roman shows that he's a true champion, the more Seth Rollins comes across as a true champion. So Roman might turn into this extra prima donna, and it might mirror a little bit of Brock Lesnar from back in the day. Remember that. Because that may actually come up when you start seeing the social media activity and the comparisons, like, wow, this feels like Brock Lesnar in the way he's playing, doing title it. Roman never defends it. It's not. Remember, don't blame Roman. Just like you don't blame Brock at the time. Blame WWE. Blame their creative. They're the ones that put it out there. So Rollins teases that he's going to assault Paul Heyman. Solo Sikoa comes out there. There was one funny point where Seth was teasing Paul Heyman, he's going to show he's what a true champion looks like. And Roman Reigns rings Paul Heyman's phone. He's in the ring. And Seth's got the crowd serenading him. So Paul Heyman can't really hear Roman Reigns on the phone. He's like, I can't hear him. Then he says, the tribal chief is getting angry at you. And then Seth threatens to drop him. Solo Sikoa comes out. Main event for Raw for tonight. Ricochet and Braun Strowman over at Alpha Academy, as we said earlier. Nice little swanton off of Braun Strowman's shoulders for the win. Brock Lesnar comes out and interrupts Shawn Michaels, who is going to announce a couple of draft picks. By the way, tonight we had Teddy Long, Booker T, Charmel. We had Molly Holly was there. RVD, Eric Bischoff showed up. JBL, I think I said already, Teddy Long. It was fun. Shawn Michaels. Adam Pearce was supposed to be part of it with Shawn Michaels, but Brock Lesnar's music hits before Shawn Michaels could make his picks. And Adam Pearce is begging Brock, please, please, don't do this, don't do this. So Brock hits the ring, he gets on the mic, and he says, Fort Worth, Texas, how does it feel to be in front of the only cowboy in this building? And the crowd is shitting on Brock Lesnar, and Adam Pearce comes out, and he's forcing Brock to leave the ring. Otherwise, 10 security guards are going to take him out. And Brock's like, you need more than that. So another 10 come out. And then Cody's music hits, and you could see it a mile away. Hey, Brock, look behind you. Cody shows up from the opposite side, gets one shot in on Brock Lesnar, and then there's this giant pull apart. I kind of wish they should have brawled a little bit more. I think to the point where the crowd starts chanting, this is awesome, this is, but we didn't get that. We got one shot, and then the security guards broke it up. Felt a little bit watered down, I got to be honest with you. Matt Riddle beating Jimmy Uso with the floating bro. During the match, Jey Uso got banned from ringside because he was interfering. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did not get banned at ringside. Riddle, maybe with a little preview of Backlash this Saturday. We did get a little segment in the back during Raw with Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and Jey Uso, where, you know, Paul Heyman earlier in the night said that he'll address the Usos privately about their loss on Friday. Tapo Chico. Jey Uso shows up, and Paul Heyman is focused on preparing Solo for his match tonight against Seth Rollins. Jey Uso feels like, okay, I thought Paul Heyman was going to talk to him. And Paul Heyman just, you know, throws Jey Uso aside. Oh, you want the room for yourself? We'll get out of the way. By the way, the tribal chief loves you. So we know that the problems with the bloodline will continue for the foreseeable future. The bloodline will be feuding within themselves. We'll be seeing teases of breakups, teases of people fighting each other. That will be the storyline. And that will be the smoke and mirrors of Roman Reigns. I almost said Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns not having a specific individual feud. Who's going to be the next one to step up? How does the bloodline react to that? Omos over Anthony Alanis. We had a Miz TV segment with Nakamura that I did not like at all, because they showed a video package last week of Nakamura strong style, that you felt that they were repackaging Nakamura, taking a lot more seriously. Tonight on Miz TV, it was like that package never existed. And I know Karrion Kross is taking on Nakamura this Friday, but that's their one and done. After that, they're on separate brands. So, you know, Nakamura tonight, it was back to what it was before. And while this is going on, Nakamura says something in Japanese to The Miz, because The Miz thinks that Nakamura would be great as his number two. And they could be, instead of Shinsuke Nakamura, it could be Mizuke Nakamura. So Nakamura says, Chisai Kitama. And crowd is saying it, Miz is saying it. Miz doesn't know what it means. And Nakamura says, oh, it means the guy with the tiny balls. Well, I did a little checking online, and actually it should be Chisana Baru Omoto Otoko. That is the man with the shiny ball, with the tiny balls. I almost said shiny balls. The tiny balls. But anyway, Kinshasa, The Miz knocks him out. I don't know. Pointless segment. Omos over Anthony Alanis, like I said. Judgment Day, mixed tag match. Rhea Ripley getting a little offense in on the guys. No offense with the guys on the girls, which still people are still trying to clickbait people that WWE's changing that. We saw that way before Rhea even went in the ring with Tozawa back in the day. But they cut a promo hyping up Backlash. I loved when the fans started doing a what chance to Damian Priest, and he decided to go Ricky Ricardo on them. And then he's talking, Bad Bunny, what? At Backlash this Saturday, what? And he just paused for a minute. And all of a sudden, he's like, sound Japanese more than Spanish. He just went Ricky Ricardo. If you ever watched, I never liked I Love Lucy, but if you know what I'm talking about. He started speaking like speed, like he sounded like Excalibur, hyping up like the next episode of Rampage and Dynamite. He just talked so fast, like people were like, what? Like, he started talking Spanish. They didn't know what the hell he was saying. Rhea Ripley gets on the mic. Finn Balor gets on the mic. Dominic Mysterio gets on the mic. Fucking nuclear heat, man. Nuclear heat. And I love it. I love it. I wish I could feel what Dominic Mysterio must have been feeling just looking around at this crowd and hearing how they reacted to him. Rey Mysterio must have probably been in tears backstage. It's a fucking beautiful thing to see. But anyway, we get the six-person mixed tag. And unfortunately, as we said, the LW0, not the LWO, the LW0, they lose once again. This time around, Ray tries to hit a 619 a couple of times. One time, Finn Balor, you know, gets involved in the match, gets Damian Priest out of Dodge. Santos Escobar tries to interfere with no success. Zelina Vega with a little bit of offense on Rhea Ripley outside the ring. Hit a nice Meteora, by the way. But in the end, Rey Mysterio gets a little bit of an upper hand on Damian Priest. Sets him up for another 619. This time around, Finn Balor moves Damian Priest out of the way. Eats the 619, Damian Priest with the South of Heaven for the win. And we go into Backlash with the Judgment Day on top. Cody Rhodes with a promo in the back. Brock Lesnar isn't in his head. Brock negotiated free agency. What Brock wants, Brock gets, just not Saturday. And he says, Brock Lesnar does not need to win, I do. And if I don't win, the whole idea of finishing this story doesn't exist, and I go to the back of the line, I will never go to the back of the line ever again. So that sets up. My predictions might be interesting for some people out there because I've thought about the match and I think I know where the outcome could lead. And as I said earlier, Bianca Belair solidifying those seed planting that Io Sky will turn babyface and probably get jumped from Bayley and Dakota Kai. And who knows, it could happen at Backlash. We may see, or the following SmackDown, we may see, you know, Io Sky in defeat. You know, hey, we won, you lost. You could see that already. Bayley getting on the mic, the SmackDown afterwards. Look at Backlash. You lost. Last Monday on Raw, we won. We won, you lost. Do you understand English? I win, you lose. And that could be the beginning of the end of Damage Control. And the main event tonight, a little bit of a clusterfuck. Seth Rollins defeats Solo Sikoa by disqualification due to the Usos interfering. They went a little bit late. We were at 10:59 p.m. and we get no Raw overrun anymore. And soon as the match is thrown out, a little bit of brawling in the ring, and here comes running down. I never saw Kevin Owens run that fast before. He ran down Riddle, Sami Zayn. One day Riddle's going to, and I love Riddle. You know, I mean, I've turned the corner with him a long time ago. One day he's going to run down that ring, and those sandals are going to get caught. Because believe me, I have had sandals on, and my doorbell rings, and it's UPS, and I fucking get up and book. Now, I'm just going from my bedroom door to my, like, front door, and I have tripped on sandals. I have taken some dives. I could only imagine it just physically, scientifically not possible. Unless you crazy glued the soles to your feet. You just can't run that fast in sandals. I watch all these ghetto videos of people brawling in different areas in the United States, and most people are, for some reason, wear sandals when they brawl outside. And you see these people running after each other. I'm like, how the fuck are you running that fast in sandals? But they come running down ringside. They're brawling. Oh, backlash. And we go off the air. One, two, three, done. And that's how Raw ended up tonight. I liked it. I thought it was a fun episode of Raw. You know, the Omos match, I think, was just to reiterate. And listen, I'm not going to lie. You know, we still don't even know why Brock Lesnar went after Cody Rhodes. I'm the real cowboy. You're like, we still don't know why. There's been no, like, and look, Brock just could say, why did you do what you did to Cody? Because I don't like him. Brock could have said something simple as that. I don't like him. I don't like the Rhodes family. And that's it. I think people would have been like, oh, that's a good enough excuse for me. So we still don't even know why that happened. But it's happening. So that means we should bring up some backlash predictions. Let's do it. As Tone Loc used to say, let's do it. I heard that song earlier today. That's why. All right, so Backlash this Saturday. By the way, I don't know if we should do a recap Saturday night. I'm not sure yet. By the way, this Wednesday, I'm probably doing audio only for Wednesday Night Dynamite, only because I might be visiting family. And if I do it on site, there's no camera there. So just go to dontony.com, and you'll be able to get the show this week. The Q&A that our channel members submitted questions for, that will be available on dontony.com Tuesday. And there will be a video version for the channel members too. So just always check the website, you know, this way, because not every show is going to be video. You know, we've talked about that before, but, you know, I have a feeling we will do a recap. Maybe we'll wait for Sunday, since everybody and their mother is going to do a recap Saturday night. So, you know, the more I think about it, we will do a Backlash recap Sunday night. We'll do a joint show with the sit down. We'll do Backlash recap, and then we'll do a sit down. So we are doing one Sunday. All right, so Backlash, seven matches. Some of these matches, let's be honest, predictable. I'm happy for Zelina Vega. Definitely has turned that corner. Listen, I remember the days where we were in COVID early on, and I remember the days when she was with Andrade, and I never forget one of the first times she went in the ring on the main roster, and I looked at her, and I was like, wow, she's fucking tiny. Like, it was a hard sell for me for a little while when AJ Lee first came to that main roster, because suspension of disbelief, you know, now look at the roster at that time and you'll understand why I say that. But AJ Lee, I just felt like she's putting these submission moves on people. And like, I almost feel it's like when you go to like a carnival and like your kid like jumps on your back and you're like on piggyback and you're walking through the carnival with your kids on your back, and or you're at the beach and your kids jump on your back and you're walking through the sand. Like every time I saw AJ Lee early on put a submission move on someone, jump on their back, I'm like, I feel like the other person just walk around like it's a joke. She quickly changed my mind. And AJ Lee was great, man. Zelina Vega, though, when she first hit that ring, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to get broken in half. I don't feel that way anymore. Zelina Vega actually could hold her own. Thea Trinidad. She's not bad, but she's not Rhea Ripley. She's good at, listen, Rhea Ripley's going to sell for her. Zelina Vega will get some offense in on Saturday. But in the end, Rhea Ripley's going to, as she said it, twist her like a pretzel. I'm sorry, I'm an older man. I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I hear Rhea Ripley talking about pretzels, I think about the Honeymooners. Oh, you're going to twist me like a pretzel. Anybody know that episode? Harvey, Harvey. Every time I hear Rhea Ripley say, I'm going to twist it into a pretzel, I don't know. I have flashbacks of the Honeymooners. But Rhea Ripley's going to, in the end, twist it like a pretzel. Rhea Ripley will retain. And then Rhea Ripley will have Raw gold around her waist as of Monday. Rhea Ripley will remain your women's champion, Raw women's champion. Austin Theory defending the United States Championship against Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed as we already figured out, Bronson Reed has no shot whatsoever. What I think is going to happen is either Bobby Lashley is going to spear Bronson Reed, or Bronson Reed is going to splash Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory is, well, it's not going to be easy for Austin Theory to throw Bronson Reed out of that ring. So I kind of think the opposite. Maybe Bobby Lashley spears Bronson Reed out of his boots, and right when he's about to go for the pin, Austin Theory throws Bobby Lashley outside the ring and steals the victory. I think Austin Theory will remain your United States champion. Bronson Reed has no shot because it would just totally fuck up those titles because Gunther is on Raw. Gunther is not defending on Backlash, which I know some people are disappointed, but again, you know, there's a heavy Latino theme to this event, which is fine. No complaints here. But Austin Theory will remain. And listen, if they continue a feud with Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley, that's the easiest way to do it. Bobby Lashley was screwed out of the championship. Austin Theory took a cheap way to win, and that could continue their feud. Austin Theory will remain your United States champion. Moving on, talk to me. The match nobody wants to see. Poor Omos. I am an Homo sapien. I like the guy. Doesn't mean I wanted to see him against Seth Rollins, but Omos, you know, he's going to be forced to carry his own a little bit. I thought he did fine against Brock at WrestleMania. He did a damn good job against Braun Strowman at Saudi Arabia's event last year. What's that phrase that people keep saying now that annoys the shit out of me? Like, when are we going to give so-and-so their presence? Is that what they call it? Or their... what? Somebody in the chat room will know what I'm talking about. Like, somebody who is not as respected, they use this dumb phrase and it's so watered down. They're flowers. Thank you, JS. If I had a dollar every time... Seriously... I put up the clip earlier about the Britt Baker shirt. I had to put it as a separate clip because that shirt is just a stupid thing to put on sale. You'll see the segment. I put it online. I don't want to start getting into it here. We'll talk about it on Wednesday, but what a stupid shirt to put on sale. You walk down the street with that shirt. I mean, you tell me how many AEW wrestling fans, oh, Britt Baker. Oh, no, you're gonna have a lot of people like, why are you fucking wearing a shirt with a woman with a black eye on it? You think they're going to sit there and let you explain it? Oh, no, it's a storyline. Yeah, you get punched right in the fucking mouth. Wear that in the street. See what happens. So, Omos, mark my words, everyone. In short time, you're going to see loads of people on social media. When are we going to give Omos his flowers? When are we going to give Omos his flowers? I'm telling you, the guy is not as bad as people perceive him to be. I don't like the squash matches. The match on Raw tonight was not needed. We know what he can do. He has no shot against Seth Rollins on Saturday. Seth Rollins gets this win. Omos will, you know, put up a fight. Rollins will self him. You know, it won't be as one-sided as Lena and Rhea Ripley. But in the end, Seth Rollins will curb stomp Omos and will get the victory. I just hope Omos puts on a good enough performance where people are like, hey, you know, that match was not that bad. Because sooner or later, hey, when are we going to give Omos his flowers? You watch. You're going to start taking aspirins every time you see that. Seth Rollins defeats Omos Saturday at Backlash. All right, let's continue on with these matches. We don't have that many left to go. Okay. This is their swan song. The Usos and Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle. I like the funny dynamic with Kevin Owens, just not into Matt Riddle. You're going to see more of those segments on Raw. It's almost like with Kevin Owens and Elias start, well, no, Ezekiel, where they were kind of like both baby faces and like they were trying to like Ezekiel's like, look, I know you're mad at me, but, you know, this is that. There's a funny dynamic with Riddle and Kevin Owens, and that'll continue a little bit, but it's not going to lead to a split. The question is, do you have the Usos and Solo Sikoa come out on top leading into SmackDown and an eventual moment with Roman Reigns returning? Roman Reigns has got to return to SmackDown. If he doesn't return this Friday, he's returning next Friday. And that situation with the Bloodline needs to be addressed. In my honest opinion, the Bloodline needs to lose in this match. Because you don't want any momentum with the Usos and Solo Sikoa winning, beating them, but they have no gold to back it up. You don't go into SmackDown feeling good. You got a victory, but you still have no gold. I think the Usos have to lose this match. I don't think Solo Sikoa loses. I don't think Solo is the one who is pinned. But I think the Usos will lose this match. And I think going into SmackDown, Roman Reigns will have a problem with the Usos, not so much for Solo Sikoa. So I'm going with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, along with Matt Riddle, to defeat the Usos and Solo Sikoa. I don't want to see Riddle eating another pin. Riddle has lost a lot since he returned. And that was a problem before he had to take some time off. He was losing too many matches. I mean, you think back, even when he was teaming with Randy, he was losing his share. When he would team up at the New Day, he was losing his share. Riddle lost a lot more matches than may be perceived. I don't think a loss should happen at Backlash. Now, when you look at this card, there's got to be a pretty even split with babyfaces and heels winning. So it makes a match that was going to be coming up really, really interesting to talk about. I personally don't see the Bloodline winning this. I feel like you got to go with into SmackDown on a losing effort, because that just gives more reason for Roman Reigns to be angry. You know, because remember, it's not about the titles anymore. It's about taking care of a problem. And do you really take care of the problem if you're just going to be on different brands going forward? There's got to be something more. So I'm going to go with the Bloodline to lose this match at Backlash. All right, next. I think that leaves us, what, two matches? No, three. Three matches left. This one, I would have given it to Io Sky. But the fact that Io is going to turn babyface, let me say it like this. After all of the matches that Damage Control had for tag titles, every match that they have had for the last 6 months, I honestly thought once Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan won and we were moving on away from Damage Control, and tonight Dakota Kai and Bayley getting a non-title match and getting a victory. Like, does anybody want to see Damage Control fight for the tag titles again? I think people are pretty much sick of it. So why would you give a win tonight for Bayley and Dakota Kai when nobody wants to see them fighting for the tag titles anymore? I think the only reason why you do that is to emphasize Io Sky's loss at Backlash. And I could see it clear as day. Bayley reads the riot act to Io Sky. We won. You lost. Now, I don't know if it happens the night of Backlash or if it happens to SmackDown afterwards, but Io Sky will lose this match. And there's going to be a breakup with Damage Control. Bayley and Dakota Kai could absolutely still be called Damage Control, but I think Io Sky is going to break away. And look, there's not many trios teams, especially on the women's side in WWE. So having Io Sky go on her own would definitely be a plus. The problem is, you realize as well that Io Sky isn't winning any singles gold anytime soon. Bianca Belair will continue her reign, albeit with the SmackDown Women's Championship, but in my opinion, Io Sky loses this match to Bayley. It'll be hard fought, but she will lose. Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest in a San Juan street fight. I am so undecided with this match. My original thought was Damian Priest is winning this. Judgment Day has momentum. There's no reason to put the win on Bad Bunny. He's not even a part-time wrestler. But then you realize they're doing a street fight. Santos Escobar is going to get involved. Rey Mysterio is going to get involved. Dominic Mysterio is going to get involved. Finn Balor is going to get involved. Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde will probably get involved. So now you realize, because of the street fight, there's going to be a lot of other ingredients in this match. So now you say to yourself, okay, Bad Bunny doesn't need to wrestle, does love pro wrestling. Bad Bunny, biggest recording artist. You know, the publicity out of this, like the wrestling fan in me says, Damian Priest should not be losing this match. I can't buy into Bad Bunny's arm being raised. But I also look at Legado del Fantasma's inept. And I feel their arms need to be raised at some point. Even though Ray beat Dom at WrestleMania, it's still not the same. And yes, LWO is not fighting at Backlash. But I almost feel like the LWO will get involved and they will help Bad Bunny defeat Damian Priest. I think there'll be so much fuckery that people, look, Damian Priest loses no stock. He loses no momentum. Damian Priest, you know, I was surprised at how many people did not complain that Damian Priest had no match at Mania. I mean, people lost their shit about Bobby Lashley, and I was like, what about Damian Priest, man? Like, when does he get his flowers? When does Damian Priest get his flowers? So I'm so fucking torn with this one because I just, as a wrestling fan, I just can't buy into Bad Bunny's arm being raised here. I mean, the Judgment Day getting their shit handed to them once in a while is definitely necessary. Dominic, you know, everybody loves that. Since it's a street fight, that's the only reason why I think it's going to be Bad Bunny. If it would have been the tag match that a lot of us thought it would be, Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny, that would have been different. I could see Bad Bunny pinning Dominic, or maybe Rey pinning Dominic for a second time. The fact that they made this a street fight means that there's going to be a lot of people getting involved. It's going to be a lot of fuckery. And trust me, that will help Bad Bunny. Because Bad Bunny, he's not experienced enough that he could go through a full-blown 5 to 10 minute match. You know, when he did what he did in the ring before, it was spots. It was planned spots, spot, 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 spot. Now, you can simply take the focus off of Bad Bunny and just have the LWO run down to the ring, or Finn Balor or somebody else. And you'll realize there'll be points during this match where Bad Bunny is almost non-existent. So I'm going to go with Bad Bunny to win. As much as I don't want to see that, none against Bad Bunny, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to get this one. But it'll be a lot of interference, obviously. So that leaves one match. Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. Anybody feeling a DQ victory for Cody? I just feel there's a lot of people that don't think suspension of disbelief that Cody Rhodes could defeat Brock Lesnar. I've watched Brock Lesnar fight since, what, 2002? And there's been small guys to have beaten Brock Lesnar in the past. Brock Lesnar can be beat. The thing is, what kind of story does this tell? Cody Rhodes will be taken to Suplex City. Cody Rhodes will get his ass kicked during this match. Brock Lesnar will beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes. But Cody Rhodes will keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. I almost feel like if you follow the Dusty template, remember when I showed you the amount of DQ matches with Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes? I almost feel like this has got to lead to a DQ, which forces another match. And that other rematch could happen at Night of Champions. Brock Lesnar is going to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia fucking loves Brock Lesnar. He gets a massive payday in Saudi Arabia. I don't see Brock Lesnar fighting for that championship at Night of Champions unless they turn that as the storyline. But it would make no sense because 3 weeks ago, when he turned on Cody, 4 weeks ago, there was no World Heavyweight Championship tournament announced. So I feel like we could end up with a DQ finish. And Cody, no, that's not the way I should win. This, this, and that. And then it leads to a rematch. I feel like Cody and Brock is not going to be one and done. I think Brock Lesnar will lose to Cody Rhodes, but I have a feeling it's going to be a DQ. I will say this. If Cody Rhodes defeats Brock Lesnar by disqualification, I don't believe that's the match that ends the night. I think Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest will be your main event. I personally think, especially that it's in Puerto Rico, especially with the hype, especially with the amount of publicity this shit is getting, and it's getting a lot more than you think. I think if Brock Lesnar loses to Cody by disqualification, you do not go off the air of Backlash with Cody winning but not happy because he won by DQ, and that's not the way it should be, blah, 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 blah. Listen, Brock Lesnar could simply kick Cody in the nuts in front of the referee. Remember the Bobby Lashley stuff? That could have been a seed planted that when Brock sees or feels that he's about to lose, he hits the referee or kicks Cody in the nuts, match over. I feel that could very, very well could happen. I think Brock Lesnar will do something pussy. He will do something, Bush League, pussy, cheap way out, DQ. Cody will not be happy. He will have his hand raised, but not thrilled about it. That leads to a rematch. And why wouldn't Brock Lesnar want to get his hands on Cody Rhodes once again? So if Cody challenges him to a rematch, I think Brock Lesnar will be like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I'm going with Cody Rhodes winning by disqualification. But again, if that happens, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest will be your main event. Go off the air. I don't know how you feel about that. You're more than welcome to post your predictions in the comment section after we're done. Definitely love the feedback, although a lot of you are silent most of the time, which is okay. Not required to. Very quickly, I wanted to give a little congratulations. This definitely is deserving. You know, recently we talked about Carmella not being on TV, and it was a medical issue, but we didn't know what that medical issue was. Well, now we know. Carmella and Corey Graves are expecting their first child, which is beautiful because we just talked about it, that ectopic pregnancy that she had, which is so fucking awful. We just finished talking about that not that long ago. She is pregnant, and everything is good. You know, the baby is where it's supposed to be. And I love what she wrote. After every storm comes a rainbow. Baby Polinsky is expected sometime in November. So that would mean that she is already 3 months pregnant, almost 3 months pregnant. So congratulations to Corey Graves and Carmella. They are going to expect their first child. Obviously, we're not going to see Carmella back in the ring, you know, at minimum until 2024. But after her ectopic pregnancy, which was just awful to learn about. I mean, I've heard about it, but I never really researched it, never needed to. When I researched it, I'm like, oh, man, that's fucking rough, man. And they tried again. This time it worked. So we wish them nothing but a healthy new baby. Good for them. All right. Wednesday's Dynamite. We got Guevara and MJF against Darby Allin and Jack Perry. And if Darby Allin and Jungle Boy win, they're in the match at Double or Nothing, which, you know, that's going to happen. Orange Cassidy, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong and Bandito versus Jericho Appreciation Society. We're going to have a Tres de Mayo, May 3rd, Battle Royal. The Elite will talk. Ricky Starks will take on Juice Robinson, and Soraya will be taking on Willow Nightingale. So that's what we have for Wednesday. The only two matches announced, as far as I know, for NXT is Dragon Lee versus JD McDonagh. So JD McDonagh will probably do the favors on the way out. And then we got the women's tag title match. And I think we may get a swerve go down tomorrow night. We'll see. Also on Wednesday, because I know a few of you brought this to my attention, Tessa Blanchard has signed, I heard it was a 3-event deal. Someone else told me a 5-event deal. She will be performing for XPW, which is very, very interesting. So we will definitely talk about that on Wednesday. Also, you know, we're going to talk about Trinity. You know, we had a few conversations over the weekend about her debut in Impact Wrestling, and cool to see CM Punk showing up over the weekend. We'll talk about that. I don't know why people made such a big deal that he played Uno with some people in the back. I mean, people can't play cards. it made such a big deal about it. I'm like, you know, it's cool. We talked about CM Punk on yesterday's sit-down episode. CM Punk is mending some fences. CM Punk is having closure. That's the best way I could describe what's going on with CM Punk right now. No publicity stunt, no ulterior motives other than closure. That's what's happening right now. I know it's boring, and I know that's not what a lot of people want you to believe, but that's what's happening right now. CM Punk is trying to have closure with the companies that he worked for in the past, and he just wants to be welcomed wherever he goes. He doesn't want to be an outcast anymore. He just wants to just be, you know, listen, as you get older, you mature. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday. A little rumor killer. I don't even know why this turned into a story, because it was just a dumb fake post on Twitter. Somebody reported that Asuka requested her release from WWE. And again, it was a tweet by nobody. But I was checking my emails over the weekend. Hey, did you hear Asuka requested a release? Oh, what are your thoughts on Asuka requesting a release? I'm like, what the fuck are people talking about? And I looked on her Twitter, and I actually found that she responded to those rumors. And Asuka basically said, is this world full of lies or is it full of shit? That's exactly what she wrote on social media. And the person who wrote the original report deleted their tweet, but for some reason, everybody turned it into a news story. So, no, she did not request her release. I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, but enough of you out there bought into... That's why I don't like using tweets as news. The Mustafa Ali Aliyah story over the weekend started getting a lot of traction. The Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 is on the table. That got traction, and then people detracted that. And then over the weekend, the one that was fun is, oh, yeah, he's passing Hulk Hogan's reign. And then people started taking it seriously. And the people that were saying, oh, no, I was expressing my opinion. That's why you got to be very careful how you express your opinion. When you just put it as a statement, people believe that what you're saying is factual. So, all right, let's see what else we got to get into. I think we just got ratings and then we are done. So here's your ratings for this week. No big surprises, but remember tomorrow MLW, I believe a rerun of Jail is happening. And we'll see if Reels works out a new deal with MLW in the future. I think they will. We'll talk about that more on Wednesday. We've touched on it last week just a little bit. But, you know, in the end, MLW, nowhere near the numbers that Reels was expecting them to get. So I believe if they return, it'll probably be on a different day and a different time. And remember, whenever MLW is on Reels, they're forced to be blacked out on Peacock. See, a lot of people don't know, but Reels is now available on Peacock. I canceled my Philo subscription a couple of days ago. Because when I watch On Patrol Live, I could watch it on Peacock Fridays and Saturdays live. I don't have to watch it on Philo anymore. I save $30 that way. But anytime MLW is on Reels, it's blacked out on Peacock. Nothing. It's just a black screen because of WWE's deal. They have exclusivity. So here's what your ratings look like over the last week. Raw last week. Raw is fascinating. Today is big, going to be a big number. They're breaking 2 million tonight. Last week, they did 1,815,000. The exact same number as the week before. And 2 weeks before that, they were 1,813. 3 weeks in a row, Raw did between 1,813 and 1,815. That's consistency. Tonight, obviously, boost because of Backlash. Because of the draft, they're obviously breaking 2 million tonight. No question. MLW last week did 61,000. That is up from the week prior's 48,000. And, you know, they finish averaging about, 60,000 viewers. Again, nowhere near what Reels thought they were getting. They thought they were getting triple digits. Anybody that tells you otherwise is lying to you. Or they just want a hand job. Court Bauer. They want to fondle him a little bit. NXT last week with their spring break and had a nice increase. They drew 647,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 565. I was joking last Wednesday that I said anything under 650 would be a disappointment. They did 647, so we were close enough. AEW All Access last week only did 299,000. That's their return. They had a week hiatus with that show. Dynamite last week did 863,000. That is slightly up from the week prior's 830. I can't wait for these playoffs to be over to see how much these numbers change. Interesting that the Big Bang Theory lead-in is down a couple hundred thousand viewers, which is funny because people blame it on the playoffs. Yet, if you look at all the other quarters, they reflect even before the playoffs. The Big Bang Theory lead-in is really the main quarter that has changed. So pretty. And the main events. Kenny Omega and Takeshita against The Butcher and The Blade last week was the lowest rating of the whole night. That Kenny Omega main eventing Dynamite only did 774,000. That's a trend that nobody wants to tell you about that we've noticed over the last 2 months, that their main events, people are not sticking around like they used to. They used to be a nice increase going into the main event. Now it's this. And I'll add another tidbit to it, just so you know. The quarter before the main event, they had 110,000 viewers more. 110,000 viewers with Nielsen boxes chose to turn the TV to another channel or off when Kenny Omega and Takeshita hit the ring. Not bullshitting you. Think about that. 110,000 wrestling fans changed the channel at 10:40, between 9:45 and 10 p.m. Eastern. New Japan last week did 52,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week prior's 51,000. Something very interesting with Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling the prior week did 133,000 viewers. And I'm really interested to see what number they do Thursday with Naomi making her debut. I think Naomi actually may draw better numbers than Kenny Omega did in Impact. I'm not shitting you. But what's interesting is that nobody has the rating for Impact from last week. It didn't break the top 150. And Impact usually breaks it very comfortably. I could only imagine what rating they got. Somebody told me that they drew about 115,000. And I did a little research, and if they did, then they should be on my top 150 list, and they're not. So I don't know why Impact Wrestling's rating for last Thursday nobody seems to have. Because if they did 115, everybody should have it. So as soon as I get it, I'll let you know. Rampage this past Friday did 298,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 371. Oh, what happened at 5:30 at night? Suddenly the time is a big deal. But when it was a lead-in from the playoffs and quarter did 1,400,000 viewers, nobody was like, oh, well, that's because of the playoffs. Babies. SmackDown, although I will say Rampage's rating was low because of the time change. SmackDown Big number, this draft from Friday. They did 2,473,000 viewers. That is way up from the week prior's 2,175,000. So SmackDown this past week did a really, really nice number. And I think tonight, again, I think tonight they break 2 million easily. So pretty good number. And check this out. We had two episodes of A&E Rivals this week, both highlighting Steve Austin with the debut of his reality show that's on A&E. The A&E Rivals of Steve Austin versus Bret Hart, that rating did 445,000. And the episode of him versus Shawn Michaels, that did 433,000. So very, very similar numbers for both shows. You compare that to the week prior, which was Hogan versus Piper, that only did 357. Not as much love for Hogan and Piper. So, all right. With that said, we are at the two-hour mark. We went longer tonight. We went a little longer, I think, on Saturday as well. Hey, we had the draft, wanted to take our time. I'm very, very appreciative to every single one of you who helped me with the supplementals earlier. So me, I have some typing to do because I have to update the synopsis. I got to put it everywhere as well. Got to go through the supplementals and organize it. And but again, you know, look, I don't have the screenshot of the SmackDown roster as it is right now. But this is your Raw roster. And you look at it, and there is so much potential for new, fresh feuds, for some pushes for some people that should have those pushes. I am so excited to see what Gunther does. I think Imperium definitely has a shot to dethrone Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for those tag titles down the line. It's not out of the realm. You see some people coming up from NXT, and shit, it hasn't even sunk in yet about Grayson Waller, because that's the guy, you know, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but if you've paid attention to my shows the last couple of weeks, he is the one that I said, I think he's leapfrogging everybody. I think he's leapfrogging Braun. I think he's leapfrogging Carmelo Hayes. That guy on SmackDown, I'm telling you. In fact, I got news for you. It just hit me right before we're going off the air. I actually would buy into a Grayson Waller versus Austin Theory feud. I think that would... we probably will get LA Knight versus Grayson Waller, but you want to give me the future? I think Grayson Waller and Austin Theory would be pretty fucking interesting, man. But, yeah, we got to digest this a little bit. But... you know, when you look at these rosters, you know, yeah, not many people were moved from the Raw roster to SmackDown. But as I said earlier, if it's not broken, you don't fix it. So you can't force things just so people get the epic surprise. You got to do it for the right reasons. I think this draft was a hell of a lot better than the way people portrayed it. And when you look at the finished product, the finished rosters, how could you complain? Seriously. Look at that roster and tell me that it, ask yourself this. Look at the roster for Raw before the draft. Look at it afterwards. Look at the SmackDown roster before the draft and afterwards. And you tell me if the rosters are stronger now than before or weaker. If anything, NXT is suffering. NXT is suffering because some of their bigger established names who have obviously improved significantly, are gone. And this promotion cannot be Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker only. Battleground, they get a fight. But afterwards, somebody's got to step up. Don't want Trick Williams splitting with Carmelo Hayes, but that keeps coming up in the back of my mind. So, hey, it's been real. Hope everybody enjoyed it. If you got any feedback, you're more than welcome to post it in the comment section. For my Patreon family, I will be live Tuesday night after NXT, and we'll do our usual Patreon show. As far as the next DTKC show, I will talk to Kev sometime this week, and we'll set something up, and that'll be fun. We've had a ball. If you haven't checked out our prediction show yet, definitely worth a listen. You'd be pretty surprised, you know, like how some of the things turned out to be. But guys, been real. Yeah, as I'm closing things out, I'm still I'm still looking at this, man. It's just, it's weird. It's weird because we're looking at the same person. It's not necessarily just that he looks so much like Karrion Kross, but that's the same person. And yeah, that's pretty wild. I'm sure by now Kross has definitely seen that, but pretty crazy, man. Pretty crazy. You all be well. Have a great night, and I will catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.